This program is a paid commercial announcement and in no way represents the views of WPHT or its management.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Recovery Radio. My name is Steve Martorano. I'm here on Saturdays talking about the disease of addiction and, most importantly, the roads that are open for successful long-term sobriety. It's all sponsored by Retreat, Premier Addiction Treatment Center. So I know you're busy. You're running around on a Saturday doing whatever it is you do. Some of you, I guarantee, are coming out of a Home Depot. I see you every Saturday. I know you're there. If you have a moment, this is a sort of program that if the disease of addiction has not visited your family, good for you. And it's our hope it never does. But when it does arrive, people have to make decisions and they need information under extraordinarily stressful circumstances. We are here as an informational tool. That is the mandate from Retreat. From Peter Shore, the founder, he said, you know, we are a world-class operation, Steve, but we're primarily an educational tool. So that's what we do on Recovery Radio. This is, I think, an important topic and well worth your time. And it's not the only problem in the world. We know that substance abuse, for all of the justifiable bad publicity we've seen about opioid epidemics, and the deaths associated with that. We know from events of this tragic week that it's not the only problem that confronts us as a society. Each of the problems that confront us as a society deserve our attention, and they need to be corrected when possible. We return to the issue of substance abuse because it's not going away. And horrifically enough, the problem keeps getting larger and larger. To that end, we have with us for the first time for the program, Jennifer Mikulski. Jennifer is educational program analyst with Retreat, and she is involved in an initiative that Retreat has begun a few, I guess, weeks or months ago called CAP, for Community Advisory Partnership. And she's here to explain that initiative with us. Hi, Jennifer. Thanks for joining us on Recovery Radio.
Thank you so much for having me, Steve. I'm excited to be talking about this and launching our CAP initiative with the communities in respect to our ability to educate and share with them our competencies and bring them into the solutions that we hope to see take fruition as we advance and try to get ahead of this epidemic that we're facing every day.
It gets bigger and bigger. I'm astonished that I first heard about the rise of opiate use through this program 5 years ago. Clinicians would come in and we would be talking about some techniques to treat substance abuse. And always in passing, they would say, boy, are we seeing a lot of people with opioid problems. And as I said, that was 5 years ago, and it's just gotten bigger and bigger. So tell me, Maggie, why is this so important? Why this outreach into the community right now?
So, and just to give you a little bit of background, I have been with Retreat since 2011, since we opened, and I have seen several patients and all of their families, and I've had the pleasure and the privilege of working with them. And networking with other resources in our communities that provide substance abuse treatment to focus on aftercare and comprehensive programs that would allow for them to remain sober and work on their recovery after going through our inpatient program. And what we're finding, go on Google, go on, any type of report from the Surgeon General. And unfortunately, as many inpatient facilities are available or county resources and hotlines, this epidemic is not getting any better. And we have seen approximately a 21% increase in opioid-associated deaths from 2015 to 2016. And so the numbers are there, the data is there, and really this whole initiative is to gain better insight from our communities and really understand that disconnect between the facilities that are available, the task forces that are created to, fight this epidemic, and why this continues to be so cumbersome and threatening to our society.
Jennifer, I said at the beginning that Lord knows there are troubles everywhere. Is there a danger with regard to this issue, substance abuse and treatment, of a kind of what I think the phrase they use is some sort of compassion overload or fatigue, a weariness about the topic? Is that part of the initiative? Part of the, what the initiative would like to combat that notion that, oh, please, not again?
Certainly. It's become so prevalent, unfortunately, and the tragedy of hearing every single day, you know, that another life has been taken by this disease of addiction. It slowly and progressively, you know, becomes recognized that nobody is immune. But for those that are not, you know, listening today or have been directly affected by addiction in any capacity, there is no immunity.
How do you impress upon people? See, when I say that to people, they think I'm an alarmist. I've made the analogy that if this were an airborne disease, people would take it more seriously. You mean somebody only has to cough on me or touch my hands and I can get this? Is it when we talk about everyone at risk, it's not unlike that, is it?
Not at all. And unfortunately, what we have been experiencing is a shift in our societal norms. There is a stigma associated with addiction, and people may think and, you know, want to pass judgment on individuals that come through treatment. And I do not think that we can plead ignorance any longer. This is something that must be recognized as a disease, very similar to diabetes, very similar to cancer. It is something in such complexity, right down to the genetic and biological, components of who we are as humans. And, you know, along with that, there's the environmental components and the individual. And the solutions that I hope are investigated through the CAP initiative, you know, really take each of those. And, you know, begin the solution-based process based on community-specific needs.
Jennifer Mulkowski is our guest. Jennifer is with Retreat. She is their educational program analyst. And she's taking the message of substance abuse and treatment into the community. I guess this sort of supports the notion that it takes a village to do a lot of things. Through this CAP program, when you have an event, you go. Where do you go? You go to schools and places like that?
Fortunately, I have had the pleasure of meeting with guidance counsel departments, school psychologists, and community members. By meeting and gathering at libraries and public forums, free events. Again, it's something that is going to take a little bit of extra time. I know people work all day and they, those that think, oh, I'm not directly affected by this, I don't have a say in the solution. And the reality is they do. And that's what we're trying to do, is connect to those individuals through this program, recognizing that every single community member has a responsibility to engage in these solutions. You know, unfortunately, because it happens all too often and every day, we don't grieve together as a community when we lose a member to drug addiction, because it is happening so frequently. And, you know, we really do need to kind of take a step back and, you know, bring to the surface some self-awareness and, you know, what this is doing and what our responsiveness is. Is it reactionary, or is it going to be something that tries to, you know, get out one step ahead?
Get out in front of it. There is something in the nature of this disease and talking about it and combating it that's automatically reactionary. Most people think it's never going to affect them. No one's ever going to get a problem with drugs. And then when it does happen, they go into a sort of cocoon and try to keep it quiet. How do you combat that? How do you get people for whom this is a faraway thing? It's happening other places. How do you break through that and say, look, you've got to get ready just in case?
I think the biggest way to approach that is understanding people and their communities and how they are organized, how they are developed. You know, what are their cultural values? We've seen such a transition in that. And we need to understand people in order to know how we are going to effectively provide solutions to this epidemic. So it's really wanting to understand who our audience is and then providing the education.
Well, who is your audience? I mean, there have been over the years outreach efforts, or I should say in school efforts, where people go in to talk about drugs and the dangers of them. DARE comes to mind. And how is this like that or unlike that effort?
Well, it's definitely an effort very similar in that we want to, you know, increase the continuity and the persistence of educational materials to our younger generation. So certainly, you know, when, you know, the Just Say No came on the market and that was our slogan, that was wonderful. But the disease of addiction now and the access to the resources that are the onset and the cause of that are so pervasive in our daily lives that it really becomes, you know, a group effort. It becomes an attitude change. It becomes not just a job, but a moral obligation to recognize that how you present yourself in front of students, as a parent, how you, you know, run your dynamic in your house, you know, how you're balancing technology with what we as society value as person-to-person interaction. It's going to be a compilation of all of that.
Welcome back to Recovery Radio. Our guest in the studio is Jennifer Mikowski. Jennifer has been with Retreat for since the inception up in Lancaster County. She is the educational program analyst, and as that, in addition to a multitude of other duties, I'm sure, because everybody does everything here at Retreat, she is a sort of spearheading or walking point on an initiative that the Retreat is very proud of called CAP, Community Advisory Partnership. Read from the – can you just give us your mission statement so people can get their minds around that? Do you know what that is? You want to see it? It's right here in front of me. I was going to read it, but you should tell us what it is.
Sure. So the mission of CAP is to establish a collaboration between Retreat and our communities for the purpose of combating the stigma of addiction and transforming society's perception through integration of education and knowledge.
This is fascinating to me because in spite of the fact – far too few people get the treatment they need. It's still a ridiculously low number, something like 10% of the people who you know, get treatment. 90% who need it do not. This idea of stigma persists. So what we're talking about here and what you're trying to do with the CAP program is, I mean, shift the paradigm here. I mean, we know how to treat this disease. But we don't know how to educate people so they can get that treatment. Is that the thrust of this?
In certain ways, absolutely, Steve. And if I may, I just do want to touch base on Retreat treatment for a period of time. When we look at Retreat itself as a holistic treatment program, you know, what we did in 2011 is not what we are doing right now, present day, for our patients and their families. We take pride in the fact that we, on a consistent basis, are reviewing and evaluating the way in which we provide treatment modalities, holistic therapies, and medicated-assisted therapies. And when you take a disease and you treat it at its complexity, and you see the benefits and the growth and the development of people that have gone through the inpatient, gone through the outpatient, have taken recommendations and suggestions and applied them to their daily living, you begin to see the strength and the development of a very connected alumni in which, you know, we hear feedback from them. And so we were, you know, talking and thinking and saying to one another, we learn so much from our patients that allow us as an organization to grow and provide these beneficial resources, you know, not just in the confines of Lancaster County or, you know, Retreat at Palm Beach, but everywhere. And if we can make it as expansive as we want, why not learn from our communities? Why are we limiting ourselves to the patients and the families that we see on a daily basis? Let's expose ourselves and our competencies within the community dynamic.
To find out what you're doing right or what you could do better?
To find out what we can do better and to find out where we can serve the communities and elevate, you know, the coalitions that already exist to really compound the solutions and close that gap.
One of the points this program is dedicated into making and making and remaking is that the notion of treating the disease of addiction is not one thing or one moment in time. It is a process, and it goes on. We very often hear, as you just did, the analogy to diabetes, only insofar as that's a chronic condition as well. And they're both diseases that have to be treated as diseases. But there's a difference here. And I think what I'm hearing from you is that unlike diabetes, where once it's identified, there's a treatment that's pretty standard and you treat it, that addiction and substance abuse is such a moving target that retreat has to stay on top of shifting attitudes and changes. That's why I guess an alumni becomes very important as a feedback loop, right? They can tell you what the real world situation is.
Absolutely. And when we look at our alumni and, you know, we are allowed to really take inventory of what we have provided to them and what we can do better in providing resources to incoming patients. So it really becomes exactly that, a feedback loop. You know, we want to hear from our alumni and have them be recognized within our communities to alleviate and lift that stigma that these are your neighbors, these are your small business owners.
So at a CAP event, you might bring some alumni members in?
Certainly. I think one of the most powerful messages of hope can be delivered by somebody that has walked through the disease of addiction and has been able to, you know, really survive and reconnect and reunite with their family that they may not have even thought supported them through this process. That is so powerful a message, and it cannot be overlooked in any event that we host.
Jennifer, you have been in this field for some time now. How long have you been in the treatment?
Over 10 years experience.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And in that period of time, which is, you know, a relatively short period of time, the ideas about this disease, the treatment of this disease, have undergone dramatic changes, haven't they?
Certainly. When you look at, you know, the treatment modalities and, you know, the professionals that, you know, we're providing these resources and how, you know, it's grown.
There were no alumni groups 10 years ago, were there?
Certainly not. Certainly not. You know, you looked at Al-Anon, you looked at, you know, the rooms and meetings and still people, though, that even were in recovery, you know, were always hesitant to share that story outside of that network of other people that share that bond with them.
Yeah, we've had a lot of discussions and are going to have more on the role of alumni and how they may differ from, you know, the AA rooms and, you know, what the benefits of talking to alumni are all about with your colleague and a great friend of this program, Maggie Hunt. Maggie's the Director of Alumni Services, and she's going to join us in the next segment to talk about the alumni part of the process we've been discussing about fighting the disease of addiction. Welcome back to Recovery Radio. Our guest in the studio, Jennifer Mikowski. She is educational program analyst for the CAP program and for Retreat. We'll get back to talking about that in a second. First, I want to remind you, though, that the phone number I give you every week for Retreat is yours, and we hope you never need to use it. 855-859-8808. Retreat Premier Addiction Treatment Centers. Listen. Their reputation is their reputation. They are well thought of in this field. They have world-class people and facilities, and they've treated a lot of folks successfully for the disease of addiction. They give you this phone number, though, for informational purposes, and we hope you never need it. Any questions you have about the disease of addiction or treatments, they stand ready to answer them for you. 855-859-8808. Well, we've been, Jennifer has made a great point of reaching out into the community through this initiative of this CAP program in an effort to both stay in touch with the community, find out what their needs are, and to, you know, modify and adjust retreats techniques over the years. It's important to keep that loop going. Part of the process of dealing with the disease of addiction, and it is a process, is staying in touch with people who have been there and done that. To that end, we welcome back on the program Maggie Hunt. Maggie's a colleague of Jennifer's at Retreat. She is Director of Alumni Services and a great, great friend of this program and an asset. Hi, Maggie.
Hi, how are you?
We're good. So you heard all that.
Yeah.
With regard to the CAP program, tell us how the alumni fit in the scheme of things.
Yeah, sure. I mean, alumni are members of the community. They're kind of like little secret players for Retreat, right? Because they have their own family and their own friends, and they can kind of share their experience with you know, the community about Retreat. So what we do is we usually will pick an alumni member from whatever community that we're going to, whether they live in the community or grew up in that community, and we kind of have them share their experience. And from their experience, you know, community members can see that we're not just saying these things, that you know, there actually is real proof of recovery living right in their neighborhood. You know, that person who, you know, is your checkout cashier at the grocery store, like maybe it was their daughter, and you didn't even realize. So I think that what it does is it kind of destigmatizes addiction right in front of your face.
Both of you have been part of this this initiative. Can you think of a couple of the highlights of some past events that went on, Jennifer? Can you think of something that stands out?
And as Maggie said, you know, it's really important that these individuals, these alumni, you know, they have the courage, they have the strength, and they want to share that message. You know, again, you may not recognize that it's your neighbor living next door to you, or, you know, a teacher in your child's third grade class. You know, we emphasized it doesn't have immunity. And one of the things, you know, in one of our very first events, you know, we weren't really expecting who was going to be in attendance. Certainly our guest speaker, one of our alumni, his family, some of the individuals that he's spent time in a recovery house with. And then there was one individual in the community that had no idea, you know, what he was experiencing, what to experience, but he needed answers and he didn't know where to turn, and had seen our flyer and came and, you know, had taken a lot away. He felt like he could be at peace with himself, knowing that he had done everything he could to help another individual, and had taken some information for Retreat in the event that individual, you know, was ready and wanting to get treatment for herself. So that was a really, really impactful moment for Maggie and I to share some time with this gentleman after the event had come to a conclusion, and just, you know, that's what we're hoping for. You know, if we can get one in a group of 35, it doesn't matter. It's that one person that if we can help them make a change, or, you know, recognize that they have an opportunity to play a role in changing someone else's life. That's just incredible.
Maggie, talk a little bit, if you could, about what the impact in this setting is of having alumni say, you know, I grew up not far from here. How important is it for the community?
I think that each community has their own specific needs, and they have their own challenges. So I think by having an alumni member from that community, they can kind of say, like, you know, I mean, there's definitely some areas that the drugs are a little bit more concentrated in, or there's a little bit more crime, or you know, whatever. And each alumni member can kind of say, like, you know, this is what I experienced in this community. Whether or not you believe it, this is kind of how it is. Or if you already know that this is how it is, like, you know, Jennifer and I are kind of there to say, like, you know, what can we do to help this situation?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting point. I want Jennifer to pick up on what it's one thing to go into communities which heretofore did not experience this problem and raise their awareness, and quite another to go into a community where they've been ravaged by drugs for a very long time. What do you do in the one case where do people often say to you, you're here to tell us drugs are here? We know drugs are here.
No, not at all. And I think that's where, we emphasize that empathy, that compassion, and understanding the community. No one is going to come out of this addiction unscathed. Business owners, parents, families. And, you know, when you talk with alumni, you recognize a trend that most often they'll start their story and say their childhood was not infiltrated by trauma or, a disrupted family home life or, some type of, traumatic event. It was a loving, nurturing environment. They went to school. They got good grades. So when you look at that, you obviously can embrace the complexity and the depth of the addiction and how we as a community need to embrace one another and work towards a goal. This isn't, retreat, coming out and, having all of the answers, but certainly wanting to be an asset in revealing what those answers are for each, community.
Yeah, one of the most impactful things that Maggie and now you have made with regard to this process of treating this disease and getting the community involved is, as we said earlier, this information loop. Maggie, I guess there's not a day that goes by that you don't learn something new from one of your alumni members, correct?
Oh, gosh, yeah. They teach me so much every day.
How? So tell us about one of a typical event. It takes place where? Who's invited? How does the word get out?
Go ahead, Jennifer. Did you want to answer that?
Nope. All you, Meg.
I was just going to say we do a huge social media push. We usually make a flyer ahead of time, and we kind of outline what CAP is, who's coming to speak, who the clinician is. And then we have, an alumni member with us at the time. And then we kind of put up flyers in that area, call businesses, do some kind of, reach out calls to see who is available on that day. And then also we invite other, practices in that area, of people who can come out and kind of see what we're doing.
Yeah, I got to apologize a little bit for the phone connection here. We heard you, but it was a little shaky. So Maggie, how many people? Your alumni group is how old now?
We've had alumni around since the retreat opened.
Right.
And we used to have them come in on Friday nights and have different events for them here and there. But probably for the past year, we have regularly had meetings weekly in both Ephrata and West Palm, and then larger events in both areas as well, including different chapters.
I want to ask Jennifer again, so that anyone listening who might be interested in having an event, how do they get involved? What does the community do to be active to get you guys to come out?
Sure. I mean, they can certainly reach out to us on our website. We do have the CAP initiative right there on our homepage. They can certainly email us, cap@retreat.com. And they can certainly, reach out to Maggie or I. We are extending ourselves into the community. And again, this isn't just, professionals meeting with professionals or schools. This is everybody. So we certainly, the invitation is extended. There's no one specific, group that we're really focused on.
Is this something that lay people can actually get involved in? There are lots of diseases that one can volunteer to help out with. Is this also an opportunity for the community to get involved in that way?
Certainly. One of the things that we would hope and are anticipating as we do more of these community events is that, business owners, anybody in a specific profession that wants to build upon their strengths and volunteer, to start community-specific initiatives, such as small business owners, you know, whether they're interested in, sharing and taking on some type of recognition by having a placard or a certain sticker in their window when you walk into their store, knowing that they can either provide you a resource or they know where individuals can get help or they've taken, you know, certain measures to get educated about the disease. Absolutely, you know, and that's all, you know, what we're hoping that will come about. Retreat, obviously, you know, the treatment speaks for itself. Alumni share their experiences and how impactful it has been to, you know, them understanding who they are as a person. And that message, again, you know, is really what we're relying on in that vocal awareness to engage the community, but then what happens beyond that? And that's, you know, where we're looking, you know, that continuity, that persistence, not just having, you know, one hoorah kind of meeting, but then, you know, that follow up. That's really important. It's, you know, we've recognized that for people's treatment, that it doesn't just stop after, you know, 30 days of inpatient. And we have to connect the community and that engagement in the same format that, you know, they have something to fall back on continuously.
Recognizing the crisis is sort of the title of what the CAP program is all about. Jennifer Mulkowski has been filling us in on that. And on the phone, her colleague and director of alumni services, Maggie Hunt. Maggie, we're going to let you go. And thank you.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your time once again. Welcome back to Recovery Radio. I want to thank Maggie Hunt. Maggie is a great, great friend and a contributor to this program. She handles the alumni services, a growing and important component to the whole spectrum of treating the disease of addiction. Her colleague has been with us in the studio, Jennifer Mulkowski. Jennifer is the education
Programming analyst.
And in addition to that, and having done just about everything else here at Retreat, she is involved in the CAP program, which is the community advisory program. That's the hands out to the community in an effort to do a number of things with regard to treating the disease of addiction. I want you, Jennifer, to take some time here in the last segment to talk about, you know, where you go from here, with not only with Retreat and your work there, but with the whole community program. But one of the things that occurred to me during the break there was, I guess one of the other benefits of this program is that by reaching into the community, you demystify and debunk some things about the disease of addiction. But as a member of that community, very often you're talking to people in the area where the facility is. You demystify what goes on at those places. That's important, isn't it?
Absolutely it is. And, you know, we look at, you know, we're so immersed in social media and technology and we see things. And you know, one of the things we hope to engage the community with is truth, you know, factual information, but not to a level of, you know, perpetuating fear. You know, again, that's why we rely heavily on our alumni, because we want this to be a hopeful matter that we're dealing with, even though it is a crisis for people that are uneducated about, you know, how to get in touch with their resources, who to turn to, what facilities they should be, you know, relying on for services, how to get their loved one care, what to do if they don't have health insurance. And that's why, you know, it's so important that we draw together small business owners, you know, large business owners, school administrators, because you don't know who that person is that's suffering or needs that help. And everybody needs to recognize that, you know, they need to approach this with empathy and compassion. You know, when someone is grieving the loss of a loved one and they turn to social media to look for support, you know, we need to recognize that. And that is not a forum where people should be, you know, sharing, you know, their lines of ignorance, or that this is, you know, a reflection of a bad choice or, you know, human character, because that just is completely incorrect.
One of the other, you talked about professional people, business people getting involved in the program and the benefits to them. What about, I'm wondering whether you see a lot of participation among physicians, because, I mean, that's an area where historically they haven't been real good about identifying the problem and maybe giving people some advice. Are you seeing more doctors coming in to get information?
Steve, you know, and that's a tricky, you know, area, and another complexity of the epidemic itself. You know, I mean, realistically, pharmaceutical companies are not going away. You know, major health insurance companies and commercial insurance plans, I don't see any type of, you know, real change in the near future in regards to how they, you know, generate authorizations. And doctors do play a role, you know, but they play a role for insurance carriers in authorizing treatment. They play a role in, you know, prescribing medications that, you know, can increase the onset of the disease. And, you know, certainly, you know, to physicians that have taken that oath, that Hippocratic oath to do no harm, such as our medical director, Dr. Joseph Chonkali, who is phenomenal in recognizing and, you know, communicating with our patients and describing to them, you know, the physiological and the humanistic components of this disease. You know, have vied to, you know, really bring awareness to other practicing mm-hmm. physicians.
So the complexity you just described raises the question of where do you want this to go? Where does the CAP program need to go next?
You know, I don't think that we have any boundaries. You know, we still are very early on in wanting to connect with our communities and, you know, how we can, as a treatment facility that has years and years of experience and over 50 years of medical experience from our combined practitioners, in providing an asset, providing a forum where other, you know, individuals that are just as passionate about, you know, solution and strength-based, you know, protocols can network together and brainstorm. You know, if you look at, you know, communities and the values, they change. You know, just in Pennsylvania alone, if you look at Eastern Pennsylvania versus Western and what the school districts are doing and the, you know, the gap in advancement and recognition in and of itself, I think it's really important, and I hope to bring some type of standardization. Mm-hmm. But also the recognition that, you know, there it needs to be universalized, but within reason and respect to, you know, community specifics.
Well, Jennifer, thanks so much. For me, the most encouraging thing about the CAP program is that it reminds people that, in a sense, you can wait for the cavalry to arrive and maybe save you, or you can get to work in your own community to guard against this disease, which, as you keep pointing out, and people come on the show every week say, it can get you if you're not careful. So CAP's the program. Jennifer Murkowski is sort of point person on that. Jennifer, I give the phone number for retreat. If people call that, they can get information about these community events?
Certainly. If they call that main number and they want to ask for me by name, I am the only Jennifer Mahowski there. and if they want my extension, I can give that to you now. It's 1421. Again, that extension for me directly is 1421.
And the number is 855-859-88. Jennifer, thanks so much. You're going to come back again. You've been hiding too long here, so we want you back on the program real, real soon.
Steve, thank you so much.
And enjoy the rest of your weekend, folks. Please remember, we're here on Saturdays, Recovery Radio. See you next week.
This program is a paid commercial announcement and in no way represents the views of WPHT or its management.